Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will encourage us with the first half of Intimacy with God through Meditation. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Intimacy with God through Meditation.
As we come today, we're going to continue our series in pursuit of intimacy with God. And today we're going to be talking about intimacy through meditation. Notice I didn't say intimacy through medication. I said intimacy through meditation. I want to look at a couple of scriptures before we get started today, and they're all found in the book of Psalms. Let's open to Psalms 1. The first psalm, and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Psalm 77 in verse 12. Psalm 77 in verse 12. Actually, we could read verse 11 too. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." Psalm 119:97. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 119:148. "Mine eyes anticipate the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." Intimacy through meditation. In this pursuit of God, in this pursuit of a relationship with God, his people must learn how to meditate, must practice meditation. We're going to talk about meditation this morning. I'm going to do probably more teaching than I am preaching, because I want you to understand, I think that we've let certain people run us away from this whole concept of meditation. But before anybody else started meditating, no matter where the practices came from, meditation was in the Word of God. We see, let me see if I can find this verse here. Look at Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63. Genesis 24 and verse 63. It says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." So way back during the time of the patriarchs, Meditation was practiced. And if we as Christians don't practice meditation, then we are losing one of the spiritual disciplines that God has given us. And this whole idea of meditation, if we're going to be intimate with God, that we have to, first of all, know how to meditate, and then secondly, we have to meditate. There was a young man who was captivated by the love of his life. As a matter of fact, he was so captivated by her love that he couldn't stop thinking about her. His mind was filled with sweet thoughts about her, and he could hardly think of anything else. And so he sat down and he penned the words that I'm going to share with you. I ain't got time to think about money or what it can buy. And I ain't got time to sit down and wonder what makes a bird fly. And I don't have the time to think about what makes the flowers grow. And I never give it a second thought to where the rivers flow. I'm too busy thinking about my baby, and I ain't got time for nothing else. Now you say, Pastor Glaze, where does that line up with the scripture? I'm glad you asked that question. Because you see, this guy's mind was so occupied with the love of his life that no doubt he thought about how much he loved her. He thought about the way she looked, the way she smiled, the things that she said, and the way that they gave to one another. He thought about the intimacy that they shared, and he realized that he was consumed with meditation upon the one he loved. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse 4. The psalmist says here, "One thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house." Now, we already know that house, we've been talking about that. The house of the Lord means the presence of the Lord. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This word, beauty, if you were to look it up in the Hebrew language, you know what it means? It means to contemplate with pleasure. Now, I don't do it, but sometimes I'm around guys that do it. If there's a nice-looking young lady walking by, they'll contemplate. Now, I don't do it, but this brother's looking at each other now. Right? It means to contemplate, to think about it. And so the psalmist said, whenever I go into the house of the Lord, whenever I go into the presence of the Lord, I will.
That's right. Amen.
Meditate on the beauty of the Lord. I will meditate with pleasure on the beauty of the Lord. And he also says to inquire in his temple. Again, if you were to study this word out in the Hebrew, it would tell you to admire with pleasure. That we are so enraptured, that we are so caught up, that we are so enamored with the beauty of God, that we are stopped in our presence to just meditate on who God is. And if we as God's people, as I've said earlier, lose this art of meditation, biblical meditation, then it's lost. When we think about the meaning of meditation, there is a classic definition that has been used by theologians for a long time. And it was written by a guy by the name of J.I. Packard. And some of you may have this book by J.I. Packard called Knowing God. And in the book, he gives the following definition of meditation. He says this: meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. Notice what he says there. Let me go on and just read the definition, because I'm going to come back and break it down for you. It is a holy thought. It is consciously performed, and that should be in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as means of communion with God. Its purpose is to clear one's mental and spiritual vision of God, and to let this truth make its full and proper impact upon one's mind and heart. It is a matter of talking to oneself about God and oneself. It is indeed often a matter of arguing with oneself, reasoning oneself out of the moods of doubt and unbelief into a clear apprehension of God's power and grace. Its effect is to ever humble us as we contemplate God's greatness and glory and our own littleness and sinfulness. And so this has been a definition that has been used by theologians over the years as to what meditation is. Let's break that down, if you'll go to the next slide. First of all, it involves repeated contemplation. It means that you are thinking about something over and over and over again. In some practices, they have what they call a mantra, where they repeat a word over and over again. In biblical meditation, what we have is a scripture that we reflect on over and over and over again. It focuses on the object of biblical meditation is to focus on the ways, the works, the purposes, and the promises of God. So as I'm meditating, I'm grabbing a hold of a verse, a scripture, a thought about God. And I'm going to break this thing down a lot deeper as we get into the message. But I begin to just throw it around in my mind. I tell myself that this is God. This is who he is. This is what he's all about. And I just let this verse permeate my mind, my heart, and my soul. And it's done in the presence of God. That in a minute we're going to talk about how do you come into the presence of God. But you get the presence of God all around you, and as you meditate, you are bathed in the presence of God. And then it's done in union and communion with God. Now, I was reading some statistics, and it says this: 1 out of 100 Christians read scripture on a regular basis. 1 out of 1,000 memorize scripture. And 1 out of 10,000 meditate on the scripture. So the chances are today we might have maybe 200 people here today. So the chances are that might not be anybody here today. No, we don't want to say that. This is a group that loves the Lord, right? Group that sold out to God. So we know y'all meditating. As a matter of fact, let me just close up this book, and y'all don't even need this message. 1 out of 10,000 Christians meditate. Yet and still, when you look at the spiritual disciplines, what are the spiritual disciplines? Reading the word, prayer, fasting, communion, baptism, meditation. This is one of the spiritual disciplines that God has given to his people to commune with him. And how often do we find ourselves practicing this spiritual discipline? When was the last time you meditated? When was the last time you consciously sat down in the presence of God, in communion with God, in repeated contemplation of a thought about God, on his purpose, on his ways, on his works? When was the last time you did that? Again, this is something that's a lost art with the people of God. And yet and still, it is one of the key ways that we pursue intimacy with him. The posture of meditation. What is the posture of meditation? First of all, we see that it is stillness. Stillness. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." What does this mean to be still? To be still means to cut out things that vie or compete for your attention. There are a lot of things that compete for your attention. The newspaper, the television, another person, all other kind of objects compete for your attention. But if you are going to meditate, the scripture says that you must be still and know that I am God. Henry Ford hired an efficiency expert to evaluate his company. After the report was finished, the man conducting the report came back and gave him a highly favorable evaluation, except for one thing. He said that, "I saw a guy when I was walking down the hall. He was sitting in an office, and he had his feet up in the air, and he's just sitting there wasting your money." And Henry Ford replied, "That man once had an idea that saved us millions of dollars. At the time, I believe his feet were planted right in the same position that they are now." See, Henry Ford realized the value of somebody just sitting back and meditating and thinking. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I wish I could get a job like that. No, there's not too many of those jobs out there. But just think, he realized the value of having somebody just sit back and think and meditate. You know, why is it that Wall Street pays all this money to people who write commercials? Because they don't have time to think about it. They're too busy manufacturing and selling the product. And so what do? They pay somebody to think about how to sell the product. Yes, some of these commercials on TV, man, I wonder where they get them from. There's an insurance commercial where the insurance agent is sitting down talking to this lady, and this mom comes over and starts to talk about how great the insurance is. And there's a little baby in a buggy, and this baby said, "Am I the only one that's crazy around here? Did that mom just talk?" That commercial lays me out, man, every time I see it. Every time I see that commercial, man, it just lays me out. And the little boy's looking like, little baby in a stroller. He's like, "Am I the only one that heard it? But is a mom talk?" And he said, "Come on, mama, it's time for my nap." Now, I wonder who sat down and thought up that commercial. You know, whatever insurance company that was, see that, you know, you get so enamored with the commercial that you forget about who's even selling the product, right? That's one of the dangers of having a good commercial. But you know, they paid somebody to do what? To sit around and think up that commercial. Now, I'm sure that the person that sat around and came up with it, he wasn't running around, he wasn't, you know, involved in a bunch of activities. What did they probably? They probably went somewhere and sat down and probably meditated and thought about how they could have a commercial that would impact this product. And God says to us that if we are going to meditate on Him, that there has to be a time of stillness. In Psalm 104 and verse 34, in the New International Version, it says that our meditation should be pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing. Your meditation is not pleasing to the Lord if you're running around. Now, you know, one of the things I'm going to say is because I believe this idea of stillness is, like I said, it means to shut out all things that try to compete for your attention. And I know sometimes if I'm walking, like if I'll go to the track and walk around the track, you know, I can be in meditation. So this idea of stillness doesn't mean that you just shut down all activity, that you can't be moving. But the idea of stillness, again, is that you shut out everything that competes for your attention. And so if you can walk around a track and not have anything compete for your attention, then you can meditate, because it's all about God. And then we see the second thing that it involves is silence. It involves silence. It involves stillness, and it involves silence. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 62 and verse 5. Psalm 62 and verse 5. It says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." The word wait, no secret here, it actually means to be silent. It means to be silent. "My soul, be silent thou only before the Lord." Get quiet before the Lord. It's like the song said, "Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name." See, you can't hear it when you got a bunch of noise going on. You can't meditate when there's a bunch of noise going on. You got to hush, hush. Somebody is calling my name. The songwriter said in our theme song that we've been using each week that He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. Now, the reason that He can hear the voice is because He's gotten silent. He's come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. He's gotten quiet before the Lord. And see, sometimes God will whisper, and if we're not paying attention, we won't be able to hear Him. And when God whispers, we have to shut other things out so we can hear Him, because other things are a decibel higher than God is speaking. But if we really focus and we really listen hard, we can hear what God is saying. Amen. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. The posture of meditation. What are the objects of meditation? The objects of meditation.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Intimacy with God through Meditation. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Intimacy with God through Meditation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Intimacy with God through Meditation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Intimacy with God through Meditation, or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.